Live from Konoha, this is Derailed Trains of Thought. Well, hello, Nick.
Hello, Tim.
How are you today?
I'm doing pretty well. We're back into school here. Well, in Cannonville, not here.
Back at home. Yeah,
yeah, nowhere. This is a nice... I like the view.
Yes, beautiful mountains all around and forests just outside the gates.
Who are those people on the mountain?
I think they're like the leaders of this village or something.
I've never seen them
before. I see a kid scampering away with a paint can. It looks like he's been up to no good. So hopefully they're taking care of him.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, yeah. But it's very cool. It looks like we're in somewhere in Japan, I think.
Yeah.
Given off the signage I'm seeing.
We've had some nice places we've visited lately.
The podcast is really good at taking us to some really exotic locales.
Yeah.
But anyway, so school is back in session now?
3 days as of this recording.
Well, congratulations.
Yes, it was a good. It's a good start to the year.
Hi guys.
Welcome.
Hi guys.
Oh, hey.
Oh.
Can I tag along in your ninja school thing?
Yes, then? I think I've encountered you over on Monster Island at the Film Vault. Your name is Bex, right?
That is me.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Bex, you run your own podcast, or at least you have. It's on hiatus right now, correct?
Yes, we are in a bit of a hiatus. It's been a couple years now, but yes, I run the Redeemed Otaku podcast, where we focus on anime, reviewing anime from a Christian worldview. And some of the back episodes, we did have just kind of some fun, kind of comedic back and forth between me and my husband. We actually kind of work well with each other on things like that. But I also do a YouTube channel, which is kind of where I've been focusing more of my attention because it's a little bit less work than running a podcast. I'm sure you can attest to that.
Sure. Well, I haven't really done a YouTube channel full time, but I know a podcast is a fair amount of, there's a lot of editing that goes on.
A lot of time. Yep.
Yeah,
With the YouTube, I'm just doing some fun Pokemon and Magic card openings, again, with me and my husband. So yeah. So check out my YouTube channel if you want to see like current stuff. So.
Well, fun. Nick, I don't know if you've met Bex yet.
I have not met Bex. I've heard of Bex, but I've never met her. Welcome. Hi.
Thank you. I have never met Nick or Tim. Do you go by Tim or Timothy?
I go by either, honestly.
Oh, okay. All right.
But yeah, so we're actually in the middle of doing our podcast now. This is Derailed Trains of Thought, which we call ourselves a premier podcast on storytelling.
For the creator and the consumer.
And we like to talk about all manner of stories for people who just are watching stories or people who have aspirations to making them, which we are probably more in the aspiration business these days than the actual making.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? That is a great plug for my podcast. Aspiring podcaster.
You're an aspiring podcaster right now. Sure. Life gets in the way sometimes, but
yeah,
that's okay. But hey, you're here just in time. We're going to go into our next section now. This is kind of the meat and potatoes, the heart and soul.
The liver and onions.
Something like that.
Ooh, no.
Okay.
I'll pass on that.
Well, no, this will be more delicious than
or
that.
Or what is Naruto like? What does he like?
Ramen.
Ramen, yes.
Which I'm sure they've got some great ramen places around here. But anyway, let's move on into story school. All right, so Story School is our main discussion segment where we take some topic related to storytelling and explore, well, the ins and outs of it. And the topic, I think you and I were talking while that little jingle was playing about anime filler or just filler in general.
Yeah.
So kind of explain to me what you're thinking there.
So in the anime community, there are numerous lists out there of filler, quote unquote, filler episodes and why you should skip them. So filler episodes basically are episodes that the studio produces in between while they're waiting for the manga, the source material, to kind of catch up with the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they produce either one-off episodes or a whole story arc or side plot or side adventure, whatever you want to call it, that aren't really necessary to the overarching storyline of the main story of the series.
Mm-hmm.
So there's kind of this ongoing conversation of, should you watch filler episodes? Are filler episodes necessary, or can you skip them? So that's it.
Yeah.
That's the conversation.
I know the series I'm most familiar with that is notorious for this is Naruto, at least of the anime that I've watched. I know you said earlier that Naruto is not one you've really invested in so much. What are the ones that you've encountered this in?
So I looked up a list because I'm a little bit of an old school anime fan. I watched anime when it was called Japanimation.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Or I started watching anime when it was called Japanimation. So it was very limited. And you watched...
That's like the pre-Adult Swim days.
Yeah, you watched whatever you could get.
Yes.
Okay?
You go to Suncoast and buy it.
Yeah, yes, exactly, Suncoast.
You had to get it on
VHS. If you could even afford it, because I was a teenager, yeah.
Exactly. Castle Cagliostro that way.
Yes. So Sailor Moon was my anime of choice when I was really kind of, okay, this is a thing that I really like, and I'm going to watch this. Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z were also airing at the same time, so that's another big one that has a lot of filler. Mm-hmm. So I looked up a list of anime that had the filler episodes. Sailor Moon is one of mm-hmm. them, because it is based off of a manga. And out of 200 episodes, 98 episodes are considered filler,
wow.
according to AnimeGalaxyOfficial.com.
Wow, so, no,
about half of it.
Yeah, which was surprising to me because, like I said, I watched it. I didn't care what I was watching. I didn't know anything about the source material.
Oh, okay.
I just watched it.
Do you think you've seen all 200 episodes of Sailor Moon?
Oh, multiple times.
Okay.
I've watched the Deke, which was the original American adaptation. And then I've watched the, fun fact, when YouTube first started airing, or when YouTube first started becoming a thing and people did like fan subs and fan, that was when I learned there was more Sailor Moon than what I actually knew about.
Ah.
And yeah, so that was fun.
Yeah. The age of discovery.
Yes. Oh, it's great. Let's see. So Naruto. Now this article.
Now there's two like main series of Naruto. The time period where he's like age 12 and then when he's age 15,
then there's
16.
Shippuden. Yeah. Yeah. So this one just says Naruto.
They may lump them both together.
I think so. It's 720 episodes long.
Yeah.
294 are considered filler episodes.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So, so a third of that.
Yeah.
A third.
This
yeah.
is why I stopped watching it like halfway through the Shippuden, this era, because like what I remember finding frustrating about filler arcs is that sometimes they'd have these really... Sometimes they can be very elaborate. Sometimes they're just comedic
yeah.
goofiness.
Right.
But every now and then you'd have this really elaborate, like even epic kind of story. But then at the same time, you would know that almost nothing from that story would come back later on. Because
so there's no yeah, consequences.
They wouldn't reference yeah. it. Yeah, exactly.
Because it's like, this is not actually canon, but we're telling this story anyway because we want the manga to build up a backlog so we can catch up to it.
Right. Now, when watching Sailor Moon, I was surprised at which arc was the filler because I didn't read the manga. I was just the anime fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually, when I was looking up what was considered filler, I was surprised at the specific arc that was considered filler.
Hmm.
And according to, this is not any of my own material. I just looked it up online. So
hey, I'm glad you did some research because yeah. Sometimes we're prepared. Other times we're like, we'll just make our stuff up. So
and we'll just wing it.
Yeah.
So this one I think is on GameRant.com. This is the ranked best filler arcs in anime. In Sailor Moon, the Makai Tree arc is considered the best, is actually highly regarded among anime fans,
okay.
which I remember that being a really good arc too, because it had a lot of good character development. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say, well, not just necessarily character development, but just really seeing the characters shine in that particular story arc.
Okay. So here's a question. I was wondering, since you didn't even really notice that they were quote unquote filler,
mm-hmm.
do you feel like the anime actually integrated these extra stories better than maybe some other fillers have that reputation for?
I can say for me, and again, I think it's because of my background, I think it is integrated very well because you're watching back in the day, you're watching one episode a day, right? That's all you could get. There was no way you could watch more than just one episode that was being aired.
Hmm.
So I think with today's streaming services, somebody who grew up in the streaming era might have a different opinion because they can literally sit there for 2 days and watch One Piece, however long it takes to watch One Piece.
Yeah, that thing is ginormous.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's probably even longer, more episodes than Naruto at this point.
So that's a good one. But let me finish with your question.
Sure.
So it might have there might be a different answer depending on who you ask, whether the filler seems more integrated.
Just to bounce off that real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
That is an interesting difference of expectations, though, when you have the yes. whole season available for you on streaming as opposed to...
You just won't get to the important stuff because you got 10 right. other series to go watch.
Yeah.
I guess right. to help people
yeah,
think.
Yeah, exactly.
Which
yeah.
is kind of a shame in some ways because, I mean, on one hand, you can watch more. On the other hand, you're just trying to get through it.
Yeah.
Is it really enjoyable at that point if you're trying to just get through it?
Oh, and then, so obviously the two you mentioned have a lot of filler.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think would be I think people can usually figure out what's the downside of filler. What do you think are the benefits or some of the possible upsides of filler episodes?
Well, I think you mentioned it earlier, the comedic aspect. So there can be a little bit of levity is the term I'm looking for? Mm-hmm. In the main story where you see the characters kind of stretch themselves beyond what you have been watching and they're in a different setting. Also, so the stretching of the ideas within the world. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of play around with almost like fan fiction type stuff, you know, like mm-hmm. let's put these characters in this setting. There could be added conflict and character development. So I think there can be some benefit to filler. You know, there could be that argument for it.
Yeah, I've seen people referred to like any episode of an ongoing show that is not about like the main story as filler. And I'm like, I'm not sure that really qualifies. Or at least if it does, it feels like a very reductive way of talking about some of these episodes.
Well, I know Tim and I have talked about, I don't know on air, but off air, we've talked about the fact that a lot of modern streaming shows are like, everything's cliffhanger, everything's connected. You got to just keep ramping it up.
Yeah.
And the upside to filler, or even filler-like episodes, is that you can enjoy the world or the characters. You can do some stuff, and I think there's a certain segment of the consumer population who wants that. They just want to tell me the best story possible, and then let's get on. While other people are like, I like these characters. Let's just see Aang and company just hang out at a beach for an episode.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
true.
I watch a show for characters as well. So if a character to me is not making sense or is just not doing it for me, mm-hmm. I'll more than likely drop a show. Or if they make stupid decisions, I'm like, and I get annoyed. If I'm getting annoyed with a character,
yeah,
I'm just going to stop watching.
I mean, that was one of the other problems with Naruto filler in that it would sometimes regress the character. Like they would basically make some of the same bad decisions over again, like to rehash dramatic beats so that we've already done this.
You mean like Aladdin and the Disney Aladdin show?
Oh, you know, that's a fair point.
He's always lying and getting caught in his lie every single episode.
It's like, I'm sorry, Jasmine. Yeah, yeah, I can see that. Uh-huh. I mean, you used to say that about Smallville,
like, I just can't trust you, Clark, every episode. That's the entire season one and maybe two. I don't remember. But I suppose I'm going to switch it real quick to like the creator, because if you're writing some long term thing that has space, you might have these times to play with the characters, put them in unique settings, give extra conflicts. But I guess the trick then is, how do we not make it annoying? How do we not make it like, just get on with it. Get on with it,
right.
Like Monty Python.
I mean, I guess some types of shows don't necessarily have the same hang up that the manga to anime adaptations do, where they're trying to like, okay, let's create the filler. In that case, is like we're literally filling in a gap to try to, for a different purpose.
We're treading water.
Yeah, we're treading water.
Yeah.
Whereas like other shows, if you're talking about a live action show, I guess people would use the term filler for like, oh, they wanted a 25, 22 episode season.
Mm-hmm.
And the main story is actually only this many episodes. So they just kind of filled in those gaps.
And we used to talk about that with Lost.
Oh, you know,
there's some filler, especially season three, where they're just treading water. They're like, hey, we'd like to end this show any time now. And they're like, show us. They're like, here's one about Jack's tattoos. And they're like, okay, go ahead and end the show now.
Very true.
I was one of those shows where I got annoyed with the characters and I had to stop watching.
So. Oh, yeah. We're big fans of Lost here, but that's a whole nother story. But I mean, the flip side of that is that you also get some really fun, silly moments in season three that you wouldn't get in later seasons because they're much more focused on gotta get from the beginning to the end. They're much tighter. So
there's a give and take in some ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in the list that I was looking through, I didn't watch a lot of shonen like Naruto and Dragon Ball. Mm-hmm. I did watch some Bleach, but I'm definitely more of the magical girl shoujo side of it. Okay.
Okay.
So, of course, they listed Sailor Moon, but they had an episode on here from Revolutionary Girl Utena, which is another magical girl show that I absolutely love. And the episode that they consider filler that they put on this list was the curry episode. And looking at it and reading about it, I'm like, oh, yeah, that does. Yeah, because it has nothing to do, absolutely nothing to do with the main story, does not push the plot line or even does any sort of character development. It is just pure and simple fun. And they played with an idea, a Freaky Friday type idea. And it's actually one of my favorite episodes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That reminds me of when I was showing my sister's Rurouni Kenshin. And the first time I had watched through Rurouni Kenshin, I really only watched the first two seasons because everyone talked about how the third season was not based on the manga and they just wound up doing their own thing and it was not that great.
Mm-hmm.
But we had started going through and we were having fun. So we went ahead and finished the first two seasons and it's like, let's check out the third just to see what it's like. And it's true. Most of it wasn't that great. But I remember there was a couple moments. There was one episode in particular that we just were laughing silly at because of some of the expressions of some of the characters and it was just some ridiculous situation. And we took a screenshot of like one moment of some character that just made us all, you know, rolling on the floor laughing. And we would have completely missed that if we just skipped it because it's like, it's all filler. It's not actually all that good stuff. So you never know. Sometimes there's a diamond in the rough.
Yep.
I wonder if having some of that, not having the burden of having to keep the story moving frees you up to do things sometimes. Like something like, oh, I don't have to deal with all that. I can just play.
Yeah.
That's probably really refreshing for creator occasionally.
Yeah, I often wonder that myself because some of the things that I've noticed, or one of the things I've noticed with current anime is the shorter, like they have to do, okay, we got to do 22 episodes and we got to fit everything into this 22 episodes. And this is season one and season two. And back in my day, there was no such thing as season one, season two. It was just the overarching story, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was episode one, episode 45, episode 72. So I think the current anime, they don't have a lot of freedom in that they have to cram everything into this one season, 12 episodes or 26 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in the 12 episodes, I think it really hurts the storytelling aspect where they have to cram everything from the manga into that 12 episodes. And it's almost like an extended commercial. Go read the manga.
Yeah.
If you like what you saw here, go read the manga.
Uh-huh.
So I think there is some benefit to letting studios just produce at their own pace, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And just put out the episodes as you put them out. Have fun with it, you know.
It is interesting the way different studios can do that.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that one of the progenitors of the more fast-track anime things was Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Mm, yeah.
Because they did the first Fullmetal Alchemist series, and it veered away from the manga in the second half. Because,
and they just did what they wanted.
Yeah, they just did what they wanted. And it was a really interesting show for it. The second time they adapted it, they rushed through all the manga story that they had done before.
Yeah, they basically just chopped it up to the high points from my memory.
Yeah, that was like the first third of it. And then after that, they went at a better pace. But it's interesting. My sister, who's a huge fan of the manga, my sister Rachel, is currently going through that. She borrowed my DVDs. And she's actually been, I've been surprised, she's been more disappointed about it because she knows that manga super well. And she is finding things in it that they cut out that I wasn't really even aware of because I haven't like studied it as religiously as she has, I guess.
Right, right. Yeah.
But I will say on the flip side, a current shonen that I think actually does pretty well with its pacing, it yet they still do it within like 22 episode seasons, is My Hero Academia, which I think that show is amazing in terms of pacing. And I've not read the manga at all, so I don't know how it compares. But I think it definitely has some episodes that feel like they're just to get to know the classmates and their silliness. And those are, to me, are just as much fun as the main story, which is also fantastic. So, but the flip side is that, you know, you only get those 22 episodes a year, basically, because they will take long breaks in between seasons to allow themselves to make work on the next one, and probably also to give the manga a little extra time.
Yeah.
But honestly, the
looking at you, Attack on Titan.
But in the case of My Hero Academia, the wait is completely worth it, because they, every season is, I think, really good.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
I would be remiss if I didn't tell you how many filler episodes are in One Piece.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah. I'm curious about this.
Okay. So again, this is off of AnimeGalaxyOfficial.com, and this article is a year old. Okay. April 23rd of 2022.
Okay.
As we all know, One Piece is still going on. So as the at the time of this article, there's 1,014 episodes.
Wow.
I would like you guys to try and guess how many are filler.
Oh, man. I'm not sure. This is a series that I know is like long running, but like I don't have that much actual experience in it, in part because I'm one of those like, that's really intimidating to even try to approach. That, and I'm not real crazy about the art style of that
Okay, give me a percentage. Okay. Give me a percentage then.
Let's say I'll go with 40%.
I will go less. With...
Oh, less. Okay.
Yeah.
31%.
Less.
Oh, less. Okay.
Oh, okay. Wow. Good. Good.
25%.
Less.
10%?
It is 95 episodes. So, yeah, less than 10%.
Wow. 95 episodes out of 1,000 are considered filler.
According to this, again, according to this article, I don't know who wrote this article or anything, but yeah.
That's impressive.
I was shocked.
Wow. That is impressive.
You know, I did notice when I was in Barnes & Noble the other day that the One Piece manga, you know, the Tanoboken, the like standard size manga volumes, they're in the hundreds at this point.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like that makes a certain amount of sense, but that's still crazy.
That is crazy. And then the one, let me see, Boruto, which is the current kind of Naruto spinoff.
Yeah.
Out of 245 episodes, 182 are considered filler.
Yeah. See, this is why I stopped watching that series a long time ago. It's just the way that studio does it.
So just too much filler is always a bad thing. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, I think we can go either way on the conversation.
I mean, I think, depending on how you're handling it.
So here's my question. Why, maybe I just don't know enough about anime, why continue to follow manga if you're going to have to make up half the story anyways?
If you're going to have to do what?
Make up half the story anyways. Why don't you just make your own thing?
That's a good question. Just make your own thing.
I guess there's synergy between the manga and the anime.
There's synergy. And in the best cases, a lot of anime will use the manga as like storyboards practically.
Yeah.
So it becomes a really interesting like, wow, I've seen the story, but I get to see it in action now and with voices and sound effects and music and all that kind of stuff.
That'd be a really interesting thing. We've had our episode on adaptation. But
way back when.
But that would be an interesting, if I knew more about the relationship between the two, about how much they change or don't change. Or, you know, apparently your sister says even brotherhood is.
Yeah. I mean, changed. I think it's very subtle things, but it's like one of those things like when you're super picky about like...
Oh, you mean like me watching Lord of the Rings?
Probably, yes. Yes. Yeah. So real quick, I'm curious about like filler in other non-anime TV shows. Like,
that's a very good, question. Yes.
We touched on Lost a little bit.
You don't get much of it in modern stuff, I don't think.
Well,
do you?
The streaming stuff that is very tightly done. But do you have some other examples, Bex?
Yes, I was thinking of the X-Men, the old X-Men cartoon, because that is got some pretty long-standing source material.
Yes,
from the comics. Mm-hmm. It's actually a good comparison to what we have with the anime community. I was not a big comic reader, but I did watch the cartoon show. I loved it. Yeah, yeah. So it'd be interesting to hear from somebody who was a big X-Men comic book guy person to know how the show compared and what they did or didn't do. And so that was one that I thought of that was a direct comparison.
I mean, as far as I'm aware, I don't know if, I mean, I'm not an expert on comic books, but I've never heard of a comic book adaptation show that tried to adapt it quite as closely as like manga to anime adaptations mm-hmm. do.
But are they adding their own stuff, I guess, is the question.
Yeah.
Or are they just,
I mean, yeah. Batman the Animated Series is kind of its own world.
Yeah, it just takes the right. elements and does its own thing.
They'll be informed by stuff from comics, but I don't know that they're trying to do any specific arcs.
Well, the interesting thing with, like, say, just TV original, you know, if you define filler as or, like, off the main story, is that until recently that wasn't even a thing because there weren't overarching plot lines, at least.
That wasn't the norm.
That wasn't the norm.
Right.
I mean, you could complain about, I used to watch X-Files a lot, maybe some filler, but then again,
X-Files.
It was basically like mythology episodes and then your normal monster of the week. So, like, is it filler or is it just how the show's set up?
Yeah, different mindset, like the 90s shows, like, as opposed to now.
I mean, we just recently watched The Prisoner, you know, some of that. I mean, it's not, you can't do either thing on it because it's its own, there were a lot of TV shows where that definition doesn't hold up until semi-recently, I think.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah. I really do think it's a syndication versus streaming conversation. I think that's the big factor here.
That's a good point, because things that are syndicated, like, really don't worry about. In fact, in some ways, you don't want to have an ongoing story. I mean, some of them will anyway. Like, I know Lost was syndicated.
So is Babylon 5.
So, yeah, but I guess it's a different mindset than... I mean, that's why procedurals work really well in syndication, because it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You can just pick them up whenever. So yeah, it's a good point. Fillers feel like it's, by definition, more specific to an ongoing story series as opposed to procedural or other format. Yeah.
And I don't know if you see this often, say it's the written word, just because, I mean, you might get things that just, you keep spinning things off, but that's all kind of a different deal.
Yeah. I mean, you've read more long-running fantasy series than I have. Are there filler moments in the Wheel of Time books?
That's hard to say, because, like, I'm sure people are out there who would be like, hey, we could just skip this whole section, doesn't matter, it was a plot line that, but I guess maybe it is, but Robert Jordan was kind of a discovery writer anyways, like, he knew the points but not how to get from A to B, so he could just kind of discover it, and I was one of those guys who just, I liked the world and liked the characters, you do whatever you wanted, just keep giving me books. So I suppose if they were filler, I didn't care, and I think that's the best sort of filler. You know, if you love, like, I guess back to you with Sailor Moon, like, hey, you enjoy the characters in the world and the setup, and give me more.
Give me more. Yep.
Yeah.
Except Crystal. You can keep Crystal.
Ooh, okay.
But yeah, it does seem to me that filler is one of those terms that can be used by online critics, couch critics, in a kind of a lazy criticism sort of way.
Like, it wasn't what I wanted.
Yeah.
In some ways. Or it was...
I don't think it necessarily every story needs to be laser, or every series, I should say, that'd be more precise. Every series needs to be laser focused on the main ongoing plot. Having episodes that will help you explore the world, just enjoy the characters a lot more. There's something to that, and that's a valuable thing too.
I agree.
Yay! Well, we got a little bit of time. Before we normally, this is where we go into our soundtrack section, where we play some music that kind of transitions us into our second half. But real quick, since we got you here, Bex, I want to do a very brief...
Challenge accepted.
Ooh, all right.
All right, so I've got a set of anime titles. So those of you who are at our Geek Jeopardy a few weeks ago.
Weeks ago?
Time flies. A few months ago. We'll recognize our anime Two Truths and a Lie, where I will give you three phrases. Two of them are actual anime titles. One of them is not. And I will let you and Nick see if you can figure out which is which. There's no buzzing in, so I'll just let you take turns as you give me which one is, see if you can name the lie here, all right?
Okay.
All right, so first set, A, I've been killing slimes for 300 years and maxed out my level. B, do you love your mom and her two-hit multi-target attacks? C, I feel as if I've passed some arbitrary experience value and gained more power. Okay, so all right. Bex, you're to guess, you can choose first. Which is the lie there?
Well, I'm going to go with C as the lie.
I was leaning towards C myself.
Okay. You're both correct.
Yes. I know the first one's real. I didn't know about the second one.
Yes. Those first two are actual anime titles. The last one is a line from Fallout 2.
Nice.
All right. So here's your next set. A, Pretty Boy Detective Club. B, Always Sometimes Monsters. C, Love After World Domination. Okay, Nick. You first this time.
Okay. What's the first one again?
Pretty Boy Detective Club.
It's bland. I'm going to go with that one.
Okay. Bex?
The correct answer is B.
You are correct, Bex.
Oh, I love the B, though. I wanted that one to be real.
That is a good one. It is a real video game.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
It's an indie game from Canada.
What is it called again?
Always Sometimes Monsters.
See, I love that title. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Number three. A, Tattooed Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills. B, Cute High Earth Defense Club Love. C, Yambino, Darkness, the Hat, and Travelers of the Books. Actually, I think I said that wrong. It's Yambio. Yeah, there we go. Yambio, not Yambino. Okay, anyway. Bex, you first this time.
I'm going to say A.
I was leaning towards A.
Okay, you're both correct.
I was going to say Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I knew that kind of might give it away, but that is an actual TV show, like a Power Rangers style show, I think.
Okay. I tried to watch Cute High Earth Defense Club?
Yes, Cute High Earth Defense Club Love, which Love is capitalized.
That's what gave that one away to me.
I tried to watch it because I try to watch any magical girl show that comes along just because it's like, well, let's see if they're doing anything different or if they're doing the same thing, but good, you know.
Sure.
And this one was not good. It was not good.
Gotcha.
They were trying to go for different, which I admire that, but it was not good.
I'm impressed you recognize some of these titles. So you're the true otaku here. All right. So let's go to number four. A, suppose a kid from the last dungeon boonies moved to a starter town. B, when she's got a rainbow syrup in her heart that she bleeds. C, world end. What do you do at the end of the world? Are you busy? Will you save us?
I don't know. Wow. Word soup at this point.
Okay.
That's the intention.
I'm going to go with C for no good reason.
Okay.
I think I'm going to choose B.
Once again, Bex is correct.
She knows what she's talking about.
She's got a perfect score here. That is an actual, those words, when she's got a rainbow syrup in her heart that she bleeds, those are lyrics from a Lady Gaga song.
Oh, okay.
Highway Unicorn.
I thought maybe the AI came up with that.
You never know. All right, last one, number five. A, Lucifer and the Biscuit Hammer. B, Death March to the Parallel World Ratsfidi. Or C, Nuclear War. What's in it for you?
I feel like C should be like one of those Coronet films from Riff Tracks. I'll just go C for no good reason.
Okay. Bex?
Wow. I'm actually stumped on this one. I'm going to go with A.
Oh, you broke your perfect record.
No!
Nick is correct. Nuclear War, What's in It From You is apparently a book published by Ground Zero Fund Incorporated.
Oh. Very good. Very good.
I love the fact that you find these titles, Tim. I don't know what you've been doing on the internet.
Yeah, that last one, I didn't know any of those.
I literally was Googling. I was looking all over the place. I found that in the list of weird book titles. So
good job.
Well, still, you are 4 for 5. Bex, you win that challenge accepted.
Handily.
Way to go. Way to go.
Well, fellas, my high school is calling me. They need me to come and rescue them, so I need to be off. It's been fun. It's been great.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Great.
Yes.
And I hope, I wish you luck with your high school magical girl shenanigans.
That's right. Well, thank you guys. I really appreciate you having me on.
Great to have you. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, while Bex is off to save the world or her high school or something.
Something, yeah.
We're going to move on into soundtrack.
So we just listen to music while like someone's suffering. That's great, Tim.
Well, we're not equipped to handle whatever. Apparently, Bex.
You must not be.
Well, thanks. Well, anyway, soundtrack, for those of you who are new to the podcast, is where we where we just play some music.
Because we like music, and usually it's vaguely related to our topic.
Yeah, and you know, music is an important part of a lot of stories, especially animated ones, and also video games.
It's part of this creativity we talk about.
Yeah, and sometimes it can spark your own stories. But anyway, in this case, I picked a remix from Overclock Remix from the game Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tenkaichi 2.
Oh, is there filler in Dragon Ball Z?
Yes. Well, at least I've never actually watched Dragon Ball Z myself, to be honest, but it does have that reputation for having it. The name of this remix is called Misdirection, and it is made by Malkos. Some nice electronic beats here. I hope you enjoy. And we're back.
Very nice.
I hope you enjoyed it, folks. I'm glad Nick did.
That's all that matters.
That's wait, that you enjoy it or the audience does?
That I enjoy it.
Wow, thanks.
I pay your bills.
Yeah, the check's late, by the way.
Yes, it's about like 13 years late. Anyways, yes.
Moving on, let's go into our next segment, Once Upon a Scene. So last time we had a very brief clip from a story.
From a story. Yeah, we've very used that vaguely, yes.
Here. But we didn't get any responses from people who recognize this clip, which surprised me just a little bit.
Yeah.
I wonder if my wife, I didn't actually even ask her if she recognized it, but too late now.
So let's play the clip for everyone real quick.
Yeah, here it is.
I hate sauerkraut.
Short and sweet.
Yes.
And that's a little clip is from the story song, Albuquerque.
Albuquerque, one of the greatest Weird Al songs of all time.
Yes, a classic. And, you know, he tells a story in it.
Yes, it was a moral.
It has a moral. It was like, he hates sauerkraut. That's all he was really trying to say.
Yeah. All right. If you've not listened to it, guys, go hunt down Albuquerque on your streaming system or on your music streaming of choice. It is completely worth the 11 minutes of your time.
Yes, even though apparently he was trying to annoy people with it, and the fans wound up loving it.
It's Weird Al fans.
It's true. Okay, well, we got to keep this podcast moving along, Nick. So here is our next Once Upon a Scene sound clip for you.
Humans do not fight in the Muay Thai. Go back to Earth. Walk, Smith.
So what was that?
What was that?
Yeah, what was it? What was it? I don't know. Send us an email. Let us know. DearOldTrains@gmail.com. And I will give you a hint. You might find a clue if you listen to certain episodes of The Weekly Hijack.
So do they need to be very specific with this answer?
Well, with that hint, yeah, probably.
Okay.
I mean, probably if they figure out the source, they'll figure out more specifics about it.
The Stranger.
I don't know if anyone else finds that running gag amusing, but we do.
I love it. I want someone to write a version of The Stranger with all the references used.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Anyways, yes.
Let's go on now to our final second half segment. Our final second half segment? Yeah, that makes sense. Our take
on Tales.
It is time to review summer movies.
Which, as per normal, I did not see as many as you did, but I saw some.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I saw like five, which at the time felt like I was seeing a lot because there was a very... It was
like 2 week window.
It was concentrated in between like late June and early July when I saw all these, which means I did not actually see the big ones that everyone are currently talking about.
Yeah.
Barbie and Oppenheimer. I was tempted for both of them for various periods of time, but at the end I was like... The closer we got to Barbie, like, that's probably really not going to be for me, even though the filming looks interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And the Oppenheimer, the R rating scared me away. My sister did see it and said, well, two of my sisters did see it and were blown away. But also one was like, she was kind of like, I'm not sure it was worth seeing, paying for. So
it was blown away, but not worth paying for? I'm confused by that.
I think she found it haunting in some way.
Oh, okay.
So it was effective, but she didn't necessarily, she really was bothered by some of the like nudity that's in it and stuff like that. So it was like, well, I mean, that was really the main thing that kept me away.
And that was for me too. Because like,
It's like when you go to see a movie, you're in some way supporting it with your money. And so like, there's always like,
I begin more and more that way. It's like, there's something that you're not going to support.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because it seems like it was a great movie of his.
Yes, I know. Like, I may see it at some point, but I'm not going to see it in the theater.
Yeah, exactly.
Right now. Yeah. So anyway, moving on from that. So we start as usual with our superhero movies.
Okay,
here we go. So going all the way back to beginning of May.
Superman. No, wait. That's way back when.
That's way back.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 3.
Which we mentioned a little bit.
We have. We had mixed feelings about this one, I think.
On one hand, I think it's a good ending to the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very effective Marvel movie. And like, they hadn't had a lot of ones that were like really worked. I think the writing on the characters were really good.
Sure.
Like, it was just a very visual, you know, character, their family. And so I think that's all done very well and liked.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's just the downside, I think, is just that same thing that's with we complained about in the second one. Just this sort of flippant violence.
Yeah, it's a little confusing that they have... I remember the last fight sequence is like, I remember thinking part of me is like, I should be finding this cool because like they're doing this really neat, like speed up slow motion. They're kind of simulating one take sort of thing. But I just couldn't get into it. And I think it was just kind of, I'm not sure exactly why that was. Because it wasn't quite as glorifying the violence as that one scene with Yondu.
Yeah, on Volume 2. Agree with that. It was a weird combination of like cool and too much.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's something that I notice more and more in modern media. It's just, everything's just a little too much.
Yeah. This one was a strange one for me because I'm with you. I could admire what they were doing with some of the characters and the visuals were interesting, although I also felt like they really leaned into the weird in this movie. More than like the whole thing of like the space station that was covered in flesh.
Yeah, that,
it's like, that's just gross.
It might be from the comics, but yeah.
It's like, yeah, I could have done without that. And I was like, why is Nathan Fillion here and like, in this one weird guard role? Anyway, but also like the villain here was like really unsettling to me in terms of like the amount of power he was able to wield and the fact that he like has apparently created civilizations and then destroyed them multiple times.
Yeah.
Like he's a creator slash serial genocider. That's kind of messed up.
And it, again, like, I found him as an interesting character thematic thing, but you're right that when you make that real in some sense, it takes you all that.
This is supposed to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the thing, that Guardians of the Galaxy seem to skirt that line. I think it depends on who you are, how much it skirts or doesn't, but it's always kind of on that edge.
Yeah.
And I think that's the good and the bad of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Because that's also sort of it's why it's so different and kind of good too.
Yeah. It's a very fine line. And I think superheroes more and more have had this challenge of balancing, we want this to be fun, but we also want the stakes to be significant and feel real. And where's the balance of that? And
well, yeah. It's just interesting. Some of the movies we watch for Let's Finally Watch This, we've been talking about some of these old movies, like killing one person is like this giant deal.
Yeah.
And modern movies don't have a ton of that. Mm. But Guardians of the Galaxy is confusing because like if Rocket dies, that's like, that's important. There's one person, one life. Mm-hmm. But like everywhere else,
yeah,
it's not. So there's this weird dichotomy that's floating through the whole thing.
Yeah. And I did appreciate, it's interesting, this was sort of Rocket's redemption story.
Yeah.
And that was very interesting, the fact
His whole story was really good.
Yeah. He was easily the best part of it. And the fact that it ended with him feeling more heroic and responsible for other people was fascinating direction for that character to take. But yeah, it does seem somewhat at odds in some ways with the exulting and some of the brutality of other moments.
It's one of the things when I first watched it, like I enjoyed it. I would say it was good, but I would always have this sort of like caveat.
Yeah, I had a hard time feeling enthusiastic about
it. Yeah.
All right. So the next superhero movie I think that I saw was Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Which unfortunately I did not get to see yet.
I've talked on the podcast before about how I felt like I was one of the only geeks in America that wasn't head over heels in love with Into the Spider-Verse, the first one of these.
Like, it was cool and beautiful, but I didn't think it was like the cat's pajamas.
Yeah, there were things about it that made me realize how much I have issues with the whole multiverse. We've talked about that. Yeah. There's a whole episode about that previously where we were talking multiverse stuff. And going into this one, I knew that it was more of this kind of thing. And now there's a whole group of Spider-Men that are like trying to protect the multiverse, which that doesn't seem to me like a very Spider-Man thing at all. Like, Spider-Man is a great hero, but he's never struck me as particularly administrative.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of there being a whole organization of Spider-Men protecting the multiverse is like, So I went into it not really liking the premise that much. Given that, it was kind of annoying how good everything else about the movie was.
So do you like as much as the previous one? More than the previous one?
I mean, about as much, I'd say. Okay. I mean, but like the characters are great. The animation
is
great.
I've heard the characters are just great.
I mean, Miles is fantastic and his parents are also fantastic. It's one of the few situations where there were stories in modern memory that I can think of where the parents and the kid are at odds with each other, and yet they are both very empathetic. Like, the audience can see both perspectives, and that's impressive.
That's nice. That's good.
Because, like, the parents are both good people, but you also see where Miles is coming from. And so it's like, and also the same thing with actually Gwen, Spider-Gwen.
Yeah.
Her dad is also very, you know, they could have villainized him a lot more than they did. And there is a real conflict between the two of them. But it's very understandable.
So it sounds like they play the characters very well.
Characters very well.
Which, I'm a big character person. Yeah. That'll help a lot in a movie.
And it's certainly a very cool visual style, very cool animation, neat things doing there. My one complaint I will say about the action, and I don't see, at least I haven't really seen very many people talk about this, not that I've sought out a lot of reviews, but I think some of the action sequences border on what we used to refer to as chaos cinema.
Okay, yeah.
Which we haven't talked about as much because it's not been quite as much of a thing in the last 10 years. It was early on the podcast, it was more of a theme, you know, this kind of chaotic. It's hard to
know where everything is in relation to everything else.
Yeah. And this one, there's so many people swinging around through space, whether it's Spider-Man or it's there's an opening scene with the Vulture.
Okay.
Where at some point it becomes hard to tell where everyone is. And also, like, how much a hit actually matters.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Like, I know you recently rewatched Advent Children.
Yes.
And I remember some people complaining about that one. It's like, I don't know how I should, you know, how much stakes I should feel about some of these fights when people are just flying through
they're
the air.
They're just flying. Yeah, like, the rules of reality go away. So you're like, they wouldn't really hurt, win, lose. Are we just,
yeah. They're neat, but in some ways I find it harder to really have an impact or a connection with, like, okay, they'll just kind of keep flying through all these environments until something hits, I guess.
Yeah.
So anyway, a lot of impressive artistry in there. Again, great characters. One of those, like, cliffhangers where I kind of forgot. I knew that they were going to have a cliffhanger into the part two, but, like, it's not really a telegraph, like, where it's going until suddenly it's the movie stops. And, like, oh, right, I guess I'll have to wait a year now.
Okay. So you would recommend?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
Reluctantly, but yes.
Okay.
And then the third superhero movie I saw, I actually did go to see The Flash.
Yes, which, I mean, I don't think I even saw Justice League, so.
Oh, well, okay. Well, yeah, you know.
So I'm behind on these DC movies.
Well, you know, I have more of a DC background than you do anyway.
Yeah, I grew up on Marvel, so.
Yeah, I grew up with Superman mostly on TV, and then even now I read DC comics way more than I read Marvel comics.
Yeah.
It's a weird quirk of mine. I go to Marvel movies, but I read DC comics. So I went to it more out of obligation as much as anything because...
I might as well go see that. Because you like The Flash.
I do like The Flash.
And Flashpoint was one of those comics you read and processed.
I haven't not... Okay, here's the funny thing. I've not actually read Flashpoint.
Oh, I thought you... Okay.
But I know about Flashpoint. They've done Flashpoint... Well, here's a weird, annoying thing. The fact that they use Flashpoint for this movie. They've already done Flashpoint, adapted it in two other things.
Okay.
They adapted it in the TV show, and they adapted it... I guess they use elements of it for the TV show.
Yeah.
So I felt like I know the story from that already. I know they've already done an animated thing for it, and I don't even like the idea of Flashpoint that much, because basically Flashpoint is one of their universe-breaking events that DC does occasionally. And this one where the Flash changes something in the past, and that winds up splintering the timelines, multiverse, and all that kind of stuff, which is what with this story. And again, I'm tired of multiverses, whether it's Marvel or DC. What I will say about what's interesting in this one, they did kind of a different approach than I've seen other people do it, where basically Barry learns that, like, he can't change, like, by changing things it messes stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's less of a let's defy fate sort of thing, more like, no, I have to learn to accept whatever happened.
Oh, okay.
Happened,
so kind of stuff. A different angle.
A little different angle. I mean, he still winds up changing a little, tweaking a little bit, but it's not quite as egregious by the end. I'm probably giving away a spoiler, but no one went and saw this movie anyway. The way they do the Flash here, when the movie first started, I was like, oh, yeah, this is really not the Barry Allen that I know in some ways. Now, I didn't mind it as much. It's the same actor from the Justice League movie, and I didn't mind it as much there because he felt like, okay, it's a comedic relief. This is kind of a team movie.
Yeah.
We need a character or something like that. Here, he just seemed annoying. It's
okay.
Like, I don't know who this character is, really. I mean, I kind of do, but this is not really Barry Allen. Now, as the movie went on, it was interesting. The actor did actually a pretty good job, Ezra Miller, of contrasting. He goes back and sees his younger self.
Okay.
So he's playing two different versions of the same character, and that is impressive. At that point, the older version of Barry Allen became much more interesting than the younger version. So that was interesting. The other thing that I will say in this movie's favor that I thought the impacts actually had more impact than the Spider-Man movie.
Okay.
So it had the opposite effect of, like, you felt each of the superhero hits, essentially.
And it mattered.
Yeah, it mattered. And that's something that DC movies separate themselves from Marvel movies in some ways. A lot of their impacts have a lot more gravity to them.
I'm not an expert in DC movies, but I would have, yeah. They're not as frenetic.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely fast-paced, and it's cool you get to see the way they move. It's funny to say they're not as frenetic when your main character is superhero with super speed.
Well, I mean, just the action scenes in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have to ground them in something.
Which is also kind of funny, because DC heroes tend to be more godlike than Marvel. Yeah, it's an interesting.
I feel like it's a different visual effects style in some ways. Now, a lot of people will criticize the CGI in this because it does look very weird at points. There's a sequence early on where the Flash is rescuing. There's a hospital that's collapsing and there's a whole bunch of babies that are falling through the midair.
Okay.
So they're very clearly CGI babies because, like, it'd be weird for them to use actual ones.
Babies were hurt in the film.
Sequence is kind of strange, but a lot of people also complain about some of the multiverse stuff where they see, like, the realities blending together to CGI, and that looks strange. But I think in that case, it's supposed to look strange.
Okay.
So I will give them a little bit of leeway on that. So, yeah, the Flash is very mixed bag. There's some interesting parts of it, but I would say overall is really mainly for if you're
a DC, like you're watching all the DC movies sort of thing.
Yeah. If you're invested in that universe.
Okay.
So that's the only reason I would watch it, I think.
Okay. Well, those are the superhero movies.
Yeah. So
we
now
got
we'll
a couple other franchises.
Yeah. Another hero movies.
Yes.
So let's talk about Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Yeah.
So you did see this one.
Yeah. A little later than I meant to, because when all these movies are coming out, it's like me going on vacation.
Doesn't help.
Didn't help.
What'd you think about this?
Yeah. I'm trying to think through. I mean, generally, like, I wasn't sure I wanted another Harrison Ford movie.
I wasn't either for a while because I was like, should we? But then the closer we got to it, the more I was like, you know what? No, I'm glad we're getting one more so that Indiana Jones becomes more of a series, not just a trilogy plus one weird outlier movie.
And I think it did wrap it up well. I think it was a pretty fun movie.
Despite the fact that this was the third time they've wrapped up the Indiana Jones movies.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like, I think I read somewhere else, but I would agree. It's kind of in the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
You know, as far as it's not Raiders of the Lost Ark or Last Crusade.
I would still watch this over Temple of Doom.
Yeah, which I haven't seen Temple of Doom forever, but I would probably agree. But yeah, I mean, there's some really neat action scenes. The intro scene with the Nazis and everything was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Feel really like that when he thought I love the chase. They're in some sort of, they're not really cars.
The motorcycle or whatever it was.
He thought it went a little long, my son.
Oh, okay.
And I could kind of see that, but I like that sort of stuff quite a bit. It was an interesting, the end was, you always have something sort of like supernatural sort of thing. And what they pulled off was different than I thought they were going to do.
Yes.
And I thought that was clever.
Yeah. We won't say more than that. Yeah. But I thought the ending was clever and fun too, and different way to do that. Yeah. No, I was happy with this.
Yeah. I was happy with it.
It was, like you said, it wasn't anything groundbreaking, I don't think, but they did the character justice. I mean, if you're going to make a movie about Indy at this age of his life, this was his.
They did a good job of, like, having him be an active participant without making him do things that he wouldn't be able to do.
Yeah. And my parents, I went and saw this with them, and they're like, you know, we appreciated that. It wasn't like covering up his age. It was it was honest with it, but at the same time, they enjoyed seeing an older person doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because you could either, like, made him not do anything, just be. Yeah, it was really not neat, but they did kind of thread the needle of him being old and respecting that without making him just useless. And
yeah, and I do want to point out here, were some conservatives who called this a woke movie because, like, they thought that his goddaughter was going to be overshadowing him, and it was a sad Indiana Jones that was, like, pathetic. Yeah. And, like, guys, it's a redemptive arc. Yes, the start of the movie in a sad place so that it can end in a better place.
Well,
I thought that was a very uncharitable. I know Disney does a lot of stuff that we don't like.
Yeah.
That's true. But
you can judge the movie on what it actually did, I think.
Exactly. Like, come on.
In these movies, some strong women who go around, like, doing everything is basically par for the course.
Yeah, exactly. Even in Indiana Jones movies, I mean, Marion was always kind of this feisty girl and, like, Temple of Doom, maybe the one that had a woman that was kind of more weak and crybaby, and everyone thought that was a count against the movie. So, come on, get real.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox there. Anything else about Indy?
No, not without spoiling things, but you gotta have Nazis because that's just classic Indy. But yeah, it was fun. It was good.
I agree. All right. So, last one I saw this summer was Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning.
Which I had wanted to see, but just didn't work out.
Part one.
Yeah, it like left around here right before I got a chance to.
On Kendaville, anyway. I think this was a lot of fun. I saw one reviewer kind of put this kind of in the middle, or upper middle, I guess.
Yeah.
Saying it was not quite as good as the last two or three, but still better than, like, certainly better than the John Woo. No one likes two. But, you know, it is a funny thing, though. Like, this is the third one by the same director. And I think this Dead Reckoning Part 1 and 2 are by the same director. So that means by the time the sequel to this comes out, there'll be have been 8 Mission Impossibles, and half of them were by the same director.
Okay, yeah.
So they really will have a different kind of a set vibe as opposed to the first 4.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this was a lot of fun. I kind of agree with his placement of it in some ways, because it wasn't a new director, might be one reason why it may not have been quite as fresh as the last two. But there's some very fun parts. Another great car chase sequence.
The car chases are great.
They are. This one feels almost screwball.
Oh, nice.
Like it's quite funny in parts.
Awesome.
So you'll enjoy that. And I enjoyed Agent Carter. Did a great job. Hayley Atwell.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. She did fabulous, and I look forward to seeing part 2. It's a nice conclusion. Like, there's definitely unresolved stuff, but you won't be, like, on the edge of your seat kind of stuff.
Okay.
I mean, like, what will happen next? Like, definitely questions.
Yeah, I wanted to take a few to this one, but he hasn't seen the previous one yet. We'd watched Ghost Protocol. Well, the first one, Ghost Protocol, and the fifth one, I guess.
Fallout?
Fallout, yes. I don't think he's seen Rogue Nation. Wait. Oh, no, Rogue Nation he's seen. He's not seen Fallout.
Okay, Fallout's the sixth one.
Yeah.
So I suppose because there's some recurring characters. So yeah, that would make sense you want to go through. I don't know, you have to see all the Mission Impossible.
No, I mean, we probably would have gone anyways, but it would have been nice to see that one right before.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, those are the movies I saw in a theater this summer. It was actually it was fun to go back to the movie. Like, this was a nice full summer movie.
Yes, yes.
Feels like the first one since 2020 in some ways that there were this many.
And they all came out one after another, largely. Yeah.
I mean, I think we caught up to the post-pandemic movies, because I know some of these
And then we're not going to have any more for a while now that everyone's on strike.
I know.
We got 1 year, Tim.
We got one year for it. Yeah. So I guess we made it count. Well, real quick, do you want to talk about Secret Invasion? Did you finish it?
I have one episode left. Do you want to talk about it anyways, or is that a big enough deal that
Well, you can say what you think about it so far.
Well, okay. One thing about Secret Invasion, and I will make the comment with Indiana Jones. We got another story about an old guy who's trying, but at least Natasha and I kind of both feel that Nick Fury doesn't do anything. Like, he just sits around acting like he's cool, but like everyone else does stuff. And I think that's kind of I haven't seen the last episode, but it seems kind of a flaw in the setup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can certainly see that.
It's like there seems like there's a lot of neat ideas, but like it's just revealed in weird, like you and I talked about, like they gave you all the backstory in the second episode.
Which really should have been in the first.
Like, there's just weird things that are like, why is this happening here?
Yeah.
And I don't know, like it doesn't quite build tension as much as I think it could. It's kind of a neat idea. I like it, but it's just, I don't know. The setup's a little wonky.
This might be one of the shows that is most hurt by this tight series model that they're going off of. Someone pointed out like I think there's interesting things about the series, but it never feels quite as strong as it should in some ways. But
yeah.
I don't know what I would change necessarily, although you bring up a good point that Nick Fury's relation to everything is kind of on the
side. It takes you long. It takes you it's like episode 4 or 5 before you figure out why he came, they're like, why you come back? It's like, we don't have any context for anything.
Yeah.
At the right time.
Yeah. A lot of these Disney Plus Marvel shows feel like they're using a movie structure, just kind of broken up in segments almost. But I saw someone on Twitter comment that if you're looking for a false identity or people not sure who you can trust, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did this way better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, that's hard to argue against.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was a great show.
Like, the LMD storyline is kind of very similar to what they're doing with the Skrulls, but LMDs were way more intimidating. You know,
this is off topic, but it's a shame. I mean, Marvel's had some of these shows, but they never advertised Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did some really good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it took a while to get going, but then they had some great seasons with computers and false identities and androids and space and time travel.
They
did Loki, and they did Secret Invasion, and they did WandaVision. They did all the realities.
Kind of. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's highly underrated show.
Yeah. But so there it is, guys.
There it is. A lot of people, when I talk about lazy criticism, I do think there's a lot that gets directed at Marvel just because they're the popular punching bag
right
now. That's
true. Yeah.
I will say that I do think audiences are hungry for something different, which is one reason why Barbie and Oppenheimer did really well this summer.
And Secret Invasion could have been, I mean, it's an okay show.
Yeah.
But it could have been a great show.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would change. I mean, I'd have to, I got to see the ending dissected, but there's a lot of good elements there.
It definitely feels one of those I'd have to study it to figure out what's wrong with it, and I don't have the energy to do that. Yeah. Which is, yeah.
I was thinking a little bit, this is a little off topic. I was thinking about this the other day, that like old school Star Wars novels and the new ones. The old school Star Wars novels, they were adventure and the stuff that's legends now and moving forward. And the new ones always have to fit in between two movies and kind of are just character studies or little things happening here. And I feel like the Marvel, I just connected this, the Marvel shows in some ways are just filling little gaps. They can't do anything.
Yeah.
Because the movies are tent poles.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if that's just changed how you think about stories, the sort of stories you can tell, the sort of things you can do. I don't know. And it's just a theory here.
That's an interesting theory. I mean, a lot of people said that was the problem with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in some ways, that it was kind of off to the side, afraid of impacting everything else. But at the same time, I'm always like, but how much is that really important? Like, I love having a connected universe where having people interact with each other all over the place is nice. Yeah. But at the same time, I'm like, the world is a big place. Do we really have to get that caught up in like everyone being aware of things that are going on in this series and that series?
I don't know how you balance it, but I always remember, and I think it's good, going back to Lost, Damon Lindelof saying that, yeah, you can plan out your show, but you got to make this episode good.
Yeah.
And I think, not that our shows are bad, but I think Loki was a lot of fun. I had some issues, but like WandaVision was super well put together.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can make the show and not have it have to connect to too many things, you might have a lot more freedom to make just a really cool show that takes place in the world without having to connect to everything in the world.
Yeah.
I don't know. Those are just ideas.
So are we saying that the problem with Secret Invasion is that it's filler, essentially?
But it didn't have to be, because it's not, because it's its own story.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it's that, but they could have done more explanation early on, you know, like Maria Hill dying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Big deal if you know about all the Marvel movies. If you just came in to watch Secret Invasion.
Like, oh,
okay,
that's too bad.
But you haven't built anything. Yeah. The problem is they never have to build up connections because they assume you already have it.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, it's easy to just say, here's the problem. I didn't have the correct, right. I mean, they still wrote a show and got a good thing put together. But it seems like you make it stronger somehow, but I don't know how.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's an unsatisfying note to end on.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But the nice thing is that there were a lot of fun movies to go to this summer.
It was.
So I hope we get more of that. But at the same time, I do agree that the strike feels necessary at this point. That writers and actors, they need to be fairly compensated. And we are in a strange new world in the streaming right now.
And no one knows how to make money at it, apparently.
Yeah. So this is the time to address it, apparently. With that said, we should wrap this up, Nick. Folks, if you enjoyed this episode, feel free to check us out, derailedtrainsofthought.com. We have over 140 other episodes about all kind of manner of storytelling topics for you to explore, as well as our two other podcasts, The Weekly Hijack, where we have our instant reactions to various TV shows, and Let's Finally Watch This, a podcast for casual movie fans who have always meant to watch classic movies. Season 2 of that will be coming out in a matter of weeks after this episode comes out. It will be premiering on September 15th.
Come join us. Another good season of very interesting talkable movies.
Yes, talkaboutable.
Talkaboutable. There you go. New word. Talkaboutable.
Yes. We'll be going through the 20th century, starting with 1903, 120 years ago.
Yes.
And you will have to tune in to see what every movie will be. Actually, I might put that up on Facebook at some point.
So you can look forward to it.
Yeah, so you can look forward to it. And maybe my mom wanted to watch some of the movies ahead of time.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, not that you have to. We purposely make the episodes so that if you haven't seen it, you can kind of get a feel for what the movie's about.
And then you see what is worth their time.
Exactly. And we try to keep them relatively spoiler-free. Okay, Nick, what is your soundtrack for today?
So you took the easy route and took Dragon Ball Z's song. I was not that smart. And I thought, you know, filler is more like just expanding something that's short where you got to kill time. So there was an album that the Bad Dudes, that was a group going around, made where they took jingles, little songs that were less than 10 seconds, and they made them into full-length 3-4 minute songs. And I thought, oh, that's kind of like you're filling it out. Usually they're title songs, character select songs. So I picked a song from NBA Jam called From Downtown, remixed by K Triton, Mustin, and Steve Layla. It's pretty jamming for being NBA Jam.
So what did they rearrange from the game here?
They rearranged the Choose Your NBA Team. So it's probably just a Choose Team little jingle.
On that screen, basically.
On that screen thing. It's probably just like a looping, like 8-second thing, and they turn into like 3.5 minutes.
Okay, cool.
So,
well, hope you folks will enjoy that. Meanwhile,
can we go get some ramen?
We can go get some ramen. That's I'm seeing some like ninjas on the roofs up there, so let's just stay out of their way.
Yeah, that's not great.
We have no those sort of skills, I don't think.
No, I do not.
Unless, yeah.
Those are not the skills I have.
Okay.
Yep.
Good to know. All right. Yes, we will get some ramen. Special thanks again to Bex from the Redeemed Otaku podcast and YouTube channel for joining us on this episode. Until next time, folks, this is Tim.
This is Nick.
Bye-bye.